Let's say hello to Terry Flanagan, who I believe was on a trip down memory lane. Terence, tell me more.
Yes, Derek, I was indeed. I was up in County Monaghan, and it brings back memories to me because my mother was from County Monaghan. Although, whenever I ask people the townland that she was from when I'm up there, she was from a little townland called Bon. And I ask people, did you ever hear of this townland called Bon? And they all say, no, I never heard of it. So I don't know whether my mother came from Monaghan or not. But anyway, I was up there and I was up visiting a farmer, and he was no ordinary farmer. Kieran Corley farms snails.
Escargot.
Yes, snails. And he's more than a million of them. And a few years ago, he noticed a market for escargot on the continent and he started to farm them. But then an interesting thing happened.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was constantly handling the snails, his arms were continually exposed to snail slime or mucilage. And the scars and the dermatitis in his arms suddenly cleared up.
I see.
He decided to investigate and discovered the power of healing of this mucilage. And he set up a company to take advantage of this snail slime. And that's not all. Snails are monogamous. But Kieran noticed that they don't all find a mate during the season. So he's developed a way of helping them find love. He collects all the singletons and transfers them to a special love den where they all meet the snail of their dreams. So to find out more about these amorous snails and the magical substances in their slime, I recently travelled north to Drumlin County to meet him.
All right, Terry, first of all, can I welcome you to Scotstown in County Monaghan? And I want to take you in here and show you some of the snails in the snail house.
This is your snail house. It looks to me like a tunnel. I've never seen anything like it before because there are rows and rows and rows of, I don't know how to describe them, but it's like netting with wooden frames on the top of it. And the other thing is, I can see very few snails. How many snails are in this house?
So there's approximately a million in this house, okay, and we do a roll call every day, okay. It takes a long time, but we get it done. But let me show you. So underneath these feeding boards, those timber things you're referring at the top of the beds or top of the are the snails. And because they're nocturnal, you won't really see them during the day.
But okay, so you've just turned over one of these boards here. The board is probably a metre long by probably 20 centimetres wide. And underneath it, there's, 50, 100 snails. Beautiful looking snails, actually.
Ah, but they look like their owner, Terry. Come on.
No, but they are. They're very, very healthy looking. And they all seem to be the same species, are they?
Yeah. So actually, we do have, what you're looking at here is a single species, but we do have two species. We have an Alexa Muller, which is the same one that crawls across your doorstep in the morning after a heavy shower of rain. Or we have an Alexa Maxima, and we use the Alexa Maxima because it's a bigger snail and hence we get more mucin from a bigger snail.
The reason why you started with snails was to provide food, escargot, is that right?
Back, 2018, early 2019, I started to farm snails purely for food because the world market is undersupplied with snails for human consumption. Okay, and particularly in Asia now, and the Chinese, they've come to develop a little bit of a graw for the old snail. So the world market is expanding for actual snails for eating. Okay, we all think of France, but actually there's more snails eaten in Spain or Italy than there is in France. And because of the weather climate changes that have come along in the last 20 years, their climate is no longer suited, really. I mean, they've lost a lot of the humidity in their climate. Unfortunately for us, or fortunately, whichever way you want to look at it, Ireland has still got plenty of humidity in the air. And these guys love humidity. That's what they live for.
But you then diversified, is that correct?
Yeah. So after working with the snails for about 3 months, and in those 3 months we bought Irish snails from County Carlow, we bought 50,000 breeder snails. And after working with those 50,000 snails for 3 months, I noticed some things that had happened to my own skin and my own arms. So I've 50 years of living in these arms, and I carry with it the scars of 70 years of living, probably. Mm. But after a period of 3 months, I noticed that these scars were all clearing, to the point that they're almost invisible at this stage. Then came lockdown, and I started investigating what's going on. The only thing I was doing different was farming snails. So I started to investigate why my skin had miraculously recovered, and I discovered that the little snail was wholly responsible for it.
Because as you were handling the snails, this mucin or mucilage was covering your skin.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So snail mucin, when it's chemically analysed, is full of all of the good things that you can put on your skin. Collagen, allantoin, glycolic acid, retinol, hyaluronic acid. Those things are all naturally occurring in snail slime. And in fact, my grandmother used to tell me stories about working in the field. And if someone got injured, you know, bad cut or something, the kids would all be sent to gather snails. And when they gathered those snails, they'd place the snails on the area of the cut, and the snail mucin would be used as stitching because it's antibacterial, it's antimicrobial and anti-inflammatory. So I didn't invent it. My granny knew about it before I did. And 2,500 years ago, Hippocrates, he was using snails to cure people with skin allergies or skin ailments.
So you have decided then to turn your business from growing snails for food to growing snails for their mucin.
Absolutely. After I discovered what this could do, I found a few guinea pigs, or sort of friends and family, created our own product and started testing this snail mucin on other people's skin, and quickly discovered that it possesses huge potential for healing damaged skin cells. So very quickly I decided, okay, we'll forget about eating them and maybe we'll get the snail mucin from them instead.
Right. Now, you also allow them to reproduce here. They have an incredible reproductive cycle. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, okay, so snails are incredible when it comes to reproduction. They are hermaphrodites, which means they have both male and female sexual organs, but they do need a partner. They always need a partner to mate. They're also monogamous, so they have to find that special one. So each of the beds I have here in the farm has between 100 and 130,000 snails in it. And there are occasions when quite a few of those maybe don't meet their perfect partner. When they do, after 24 hours of getting to know one another, they will do the business and then they will each lay potentially 100 eggs.
Most people, when they hear about the reproduction of snails, they think of these love darts.
Yeah, so snail mating is a bit like Russian roulette. Okay, somebody's going to die, unfortunately, Terry. Someone's going to die. So when two snails mate, they fire a dart at each other. And this is the origin of Cupid's arrow. So this dart is laced with enzymes that will arouse the partner or the intended partner. Now, when you scale it up, if it were two humans firing darts, they would be 12 inches long. So it can actually do a lot of damage to the intended partner. But let's just say they get over that. After they have then exchanged semen, each snail will secrete an enzyme to kill the semen of the other snail. Because in this world, nobody wants to be a pregnant snail. Watch out there, people. Just make sure you're not a pregnant snail.
And why is that?
Okay, so the snail will carry her eggs immediately underneath the shell for about 15 days. And during that time, she will nourish them and she will look after them and she will help them along. But as those eggs grow, they're effectively pushing the mommy snail out of the shell. So much so that at the end of the process, the very last thing that the mother will do is lay her eggs and then she unfortunately will pass away. But she's left the world with 100 potential babies in her wake and she's actually given her life for them to have a chance.
Snails, they're not blind, but they only see in black and white.
Yeah, very poor eyesight. They can just about tell the difference between day and night. But they actually have a fantastic smell. Like big cats in the wild in Africa or wherever else that David Attenborough might be, they can actually smell other snail slime trails and they can tell a lot from the other snail just from smell, whether that snail is ready for mating or whether it's not matured yet or whether it's just not suited to them. So, yeah, very poor eyesight, no hearing whatsoever, but very good smell.
But not all of the snails, going back to the reproductive cycle, not all of them find a partner, as you well know. So you've done something special.
Yeah, we like to give the snails a second chance in life. So as this season comes to an end, I will take all of the mature snails that are in 7 beds and put all of them into one single bed, which I call the Lonely Hearts bed.
It's a bit like a disco, is it?
It's a bit like speed dating, I would say. Only it's not very speedy, as you can imagine, these are snails. But anyway, so in this last bed, they all have the chance to visit each other and see if they can find the special one in that particular bed. And I have proof of the pudding because I have lots of babies in that bed.
Okay, we can have a look at that bed now. If we just walk down to here, because this is it, you showed me. This is a special bed, bed number 8. So let's have a look then to see where these babies are.
Okay, so when I turn the boards, okay, yeah, you'll see that the majority of them are mature snails and big, okay? Yeah. And that's because they have arrived into this bed from other beds. But here, you can
I can see a couple of them there,
smaller babies.
Tiny little ones, absolutely tiny.
Pinpricks,
so,
yeah.
So they wouldn't have had a chance at life except for your help.
Correct. I'm thinking about heading down to Listenvarna now next month and maybe help a few humans. But no, yeah, so these babies are as a result of me taking all of the lonely hearts and putting them in the one, and they have found love in that single bed and recreated.
Now, there's one guy here, and he's on his own. I don't know why. And he's got an unusual neck on him, so to speak. This guy over here. Kieran, explain to me about him.
This guy is heavily pregnant.
There's a black band or something just at the tip of the shell.
That's his egg sac. So it's actually bulging out from underneath the shell. That means this guy is ready to lay his eggs somewhere on the ground. He might even go down there tonight, burrow into the ground and lay up to 100 eggs.
Now, you say this guy, he's neither a guy nor a gal. He's both, isn't he?
He is both, but it's very confusing if you're talking about them every day to call them. So I refer to them all as guys, but no, they are hermaphrodites. They have both male and female sexual organs, so they're neither male nor female.
Now, he will probably go down, as you say, tonight. He'll go down into the soil here, because I'm looking at the ground. You have plants here, you see, you've common, what we might call weeds. I see a lot of nettles and that here. Is there any reason, or do you plant special plants here within the beds?
Yeah, actually we have a combination, and yeah, those are nettles. But snails love nettles because nettles are high in calcium, which helps them to keep a strong and healthy shell. Yeah. But the others are special plants that we bring in from Greece, a lot of them, and we plant them so that the snails have a vegetation to eat. But we also supplement that with this meal at the top, where you can see that's specially formulated from dried fruit and dried vegetables, and the snails just love it. In fact, a snail will multiply its birth weight by 1,000 from it is laid, when that egg is laid, to when it's fully mature, when it's going to weigh approximately 12, 13 grams.
Do you have problems then with predators or parasites?
Yeah. In the wild, approximately 3% of snails will mature. And that's because of natural predators. And it's also because sometimes they're just lazy little buggers. But so in this snail house that you're standing in, you can see that we have a netting across the top to make sure that the birds can't get in, because these would be almost like chicken nuggets for the birds. Mm-hmm. And along the bottom, we have steel girders which keep out mice and vermin or rats or anything else that would like to crawl in. So those actually go down into the ground about 500 mil, and they come up above the ground about 500 mil. So that's to give these guys the best opportunity. I also give them a shower of rain, which is actually a sprinkler system, but I give them a shower of rain each night at dusk, just as darkness is falling.
Because they are nocturnal animals.
Absolutely.
Does that encourage them then to come out?
It does indeed, yeah. So ideally they would like a shower of rain just as it's getting dark. That encourages them to pop their head out to see what conditions are like. They have an excellent sense of smell, so I have food everywhere in the snail house. So if I convince them to pop their head out and consider coming out and they get a smell of the food, well, they're up on the feeding board straight away.
Now, tell us how you collect the mucin.
A snail will secrete slime for three reasons. The first reason is for them to move without friction. But this tells us something in itself. Because snails are travelling across bacteria-ridden surfaces, and that snail slime has to be antibacterial. So it's naturally antibacterial. So that's the first thing. Second thing is a little snail will secrete a little slime if he wants to stick. So you can see here in the snail house where all these guys are underneath these feeding boards and they're sort of gone to sleep for the day. But they've secreted slime and that makes them can stick to the underside of the board. Mm-hmm. The third reason that a snail will secrete slime is to heal itself. If it damages its foot or its shell, it will secrete slime to that area to repair it. And that's the healing bit that I'm trying to grab in the products. Mm-hmm. Now, when I want to take mucin from these guys, I hire in a special machine, okay? And that machine has a glass dome, okay? It's filled full of steam and it's very moist and warm in there. And then we gently rock the floor back and forth. So the little snail thinks, well, I'm moving here and I don't want to move. And in his mind, he sort of says, well, okay, how do I stop moving? I secrete slime. And that I can make me stick so I won't have to move. But when he secretes the slime, because the floor is a mesh, it's a stainless steel mesh, and the mucin, therefore, flows down underneath, and we collect it underneath that floor.
And how much slime would you get from a single snail? Or can you quantify one?
I haven't really quantified it like that, but what we would say is that you will get a litre of snail mucin from 20,000 snails over the course of a season, but that's three harvests. You can harvest slime, give them a month off, harvest slime, give them a month off, harvest slime, give them a month off in the course of a season. And for 20,000 snails, you get collect a litre of snail mucin.
And it doesn't affect the snail in any way?
No.
It's like giving blood.
Yeah, very similar. So, I mean, if a snail, and a snail will move on average 27 metres in a day, okay, which is more than a lot of humans I know.
Right.
But if a snail moves 27 metres, it will secrete enough slime to cover that 27 metres. But if he decides to move one, well, he'll only secrete. So, you know, we're just asking him to secrete slime to have him to stop or stick. It doesn't harm him in any sense. And then he goes back to the pasture.
So tell us a little bit then about the business. How is it going?
Okay, so we started with local guinea pigs, friends, relations, and we started using snail slime and aloe vera, which we made on the kitchen table, to treat people's psoriasis or eczema or dermatitis, those types of issues. And very quickly, we had a reputation out there for having a product that worked. So people started calling to the house. I would open the front door and they would say, "Are you the snail man? We want to talk to the snail man." I, after a while, sort of could say nothing, but yeah, I suppose I am the snail man. And then they would say, "Well, we want some of that snail stuff." So very quickly, by word of mouth, the success that we were having in treating skin ailments grew, and I decided, look, we better make this official, we better get this product formally registered and all of that good stuff. So we worked with a company in Italy to create these products. They're all stamped and certified and registered with Europe. And we've been selling products from 2022, and I have a very proud record where about 85% of people who buy from us come back.
That is incredible. You know, I would never have thought of it, that you could harvest snails to take the mucin from them to use as a product that would cure the likes of eczema and dermatitis.
Yeah, and I'd love, Terry, to be able to claim that I created this, but about 2,500 years ago, a guy called Hippocrates, he is responsible for the Hippocratic Oath, and he was using snails and snail slime to cure people with skin ailments, even back then, 2,500 years ago.
So you won't be going back to Reardon snails for food anymore. It's mucin all the way.
What really does it for me, and this is what makes my heart grow, swell, and gives me pride in what I'm doing, is when I'm walking down the street, possibly in Monaghan or anywhere around, and a mother or a father will come across, shake my hand and say, "Your products cured my son or my daughter." And I get such a kick out of that. It's worth more than anything in the world.
Thank you very much indeed, Terry. And can I just say, if you have any medical condition, any issue with your skin at all, we recommend that you go to see your GP in the first instance. OK, we're just bringing this story to you for what it's worth. But go and check with your GP. That's all we have time for today. My thanks to Terry Flanagan, Richard Collins and Niall Hatch. Don't forget to visit the website anytime you like, rte.ie/Mooney. We'll do it all again next week. Until then, goodbye, goodbye, goodbye.
Mooney Goes Wild was presented and produced by Derek Mooney. And of course, you can listen back to all episodes in the series or share them with friends at the Mooney Goes Wild website or wherever you get your podcasts.
Email mooney@rte.ie.